Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Ladies and gentlemen, today with me I have Saba Ali. She is a best-selling author, a speaker, Instagram queen, and founder of Unforgettable. Hey, Saba.
Hey, how's it going?
It's doing great. First question, and this is just personal. How do you become an Instagram queen or king? That's the first time I heard of that.
Yeah. So I absolutely love Instagram. It is by far my favorite platform out of all social media platforms. So I've been studying Instagram actually for about a year now. And just recently I founded my digital Instagram agency. And that pretty much, you know, focuses on helping other lifestyle entrepreneurs, local business owners, people who really don't know much about Instagram at all, and helping them focus on creating content, using that to grow an organic following. So pretty much why I chose Instagram was because, you know, I feel like any other social media platform nowadays is so flooded, you know, with business dynamics that Instagram is so much more personable.
Does Instagram work for everyone? Because when I look at Instagram, I see people traveling, I see people eating, and I see a lot of fitness coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because Instagram is literally all visuals, and about like 74% of marketing nowadays is only visuals. So whether it is you are in fitness, you know, you're in the food niche, if you're a restaurant, anything really goes with Instagram. I know right now I'm actually working with a local brewery here. I'm from Ames, Iowa, and, you know, they make their own beer. So it's really cool to see how you can incorporate, you know, pictures of, like, beer, their food, and using that to actually bring in customers to their doorstep.
How would you recommend someone starting on Instagram to, I guess, figure out what content to put out and their content strategy?
So it really depends on exactly what their focus is. A lot of entrepreneurs, they come to me and they're like, oh, I want to get a bunch of followers. And that's cool and all. But the thing is about Instagram, especially if you're wanting to build up a personal account, it's 10 times harder to do that rather than if you're, you know, trying to build up an account that's based on fitness or travel or food. Just because when you are trying to build a personal account, people actually want to see how they can get value out of it. I know a lot of people who are on Instagram, they follow pictures of like food and travel just because that's intriguing to them to see it on their newsfeed. So for someone who is wanting to build up a personal account, it really is based on, okay, what is their focus in their industry? For me, my brand is a student entrepreneur. So on my Instagram, I pretty much just put pictures about my journey. I put quotes, so that kind of mixes in with a theme that I have going on in my Instagram. So when, you know, people come to me, I walk them through, okay, when people go on your account on Instagram, what's the first thing that is going to pop up in their head when they see it?
What would you say the, like, most seen picture or video, whatever you posted was, and why do you think that is?
So the most recently, I mean, I post a lot on Instagram, but recently the most popular picture I put was about my brand Unforgettable by Saba. That is when I launched my t-shirts, actually. And the reason why that got so much more engagement than all my other posts is, one, the picture itself was really good. It was high quality. And number two, I made a very detailed caption. It's highly, highly more engaging when the actual caption in the picture is more intriguing to the viewer. You know, if it's just like a basic caption, like a quote or something, that's good. But people actually like to see real authenticity behind the account. That's probably why I got a lot more engagement. It's because I put a long caption about what the image is actually portraying.
How does the fame of Instagram transfer into actual sales? Because I look at Instagram a little bit, but I mean, I just skip through it. It's just, to me, it's mostly nonsense. I just, you know, watch some food, you know, some girls working out, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done. You know, I wouldn't click on anything. So I'm curious how you get people to actually go through and make a sale from that.
So it's funny because it was actually, so I actually used to be heavily in e-commerce back in the summer, just because that interested me. So I opened up a random e-commerce store. The niche was literally like animal products. And I did all my sales on Instagram. I didn't use any like Facebook advertisements, anything. And I made over $1,000 of sales in a month. Started from scratch. Like, I didn't know anything about it. So the thing is about Instagram, you're targeting people who are, I mean, Instagram is directed towards more millennials, and you're targeting people who will literally buy from an influencer. So when I had my e-commerce store, I would have other bigger name influencers on Instagram shout out my products. So people who already have that relationship with that follower, it's more likely that they'll buy from them rather than, you know, a random product that they might not have seen before on an account.
So is that the trick? Do millennials pretty much just see what an influencer has and then you just pretty much put a buy now button next to it? Is that the trick there?
That's a big part of it. Or a lot of people, when they post an image on Instagram, they're like, click the link in my bio. So that's another option in a way people do it that way. But yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, you know, if people are already following influencers, they already have that relationship with them. So if they see something is trending, they're most likely going to buy it. And then even with good deals, I know a lot of people search on Instagram using hashtags. I do that all the time. And free plus shipping is so popular nowadays that when people see the word free, they just want to buy something. obviously, the shipping part they have to pay for.
So when you take someone off to, let's say, you know, they click on the button, what kind of checkout do you use? Like, what are millennials most comfortable with?
As in, like, payment method?
So to actually get them to pay. Like, what payment method and you know, or theme, or do they do it through Facebook, Google Shopping? Like, what do you send them to?
Okay, so for me, for my company, Unforgettable, we have T-shirts. So let's say I put a post on Instagram about my T-shirts. I say, click the link in my bio. So the link is already preset in my bio. They click on the link. They browse through the T-shirts. Easily they can do it on their phone, click the size they want, press checkout, and then literally takes them to the checkout page where they can either use PayPal to pay for it or put in their credit card information. So it's super easy. You know, they don't have to go on a desktop and do it. It's literally just all on their phone. And then same thing with Facebook. If I put a picture up on Facebook, link it to, you know, the link, it directs them to the T-shirts. They can easily just do it that way as well.
So would you use Teespring or Shopify, or do you use something else to show people those T-shirts?
Oh, yeah. So I have my WordPress account, and I integrated that with Shopify.
Okay, very
cool. That's the easiest way to do it. Yep.
Tell me about Unforgettable.
Yes, so Unforgettable by Saba, I started this back in August. And the backstory of that came from, I mean, 2 years ago, I jumped into entrepreneurship, and it's still fairly new to me. But I realized that there are a lot of female entrepreneurs that never either get the spotlight or they have the ambition to do something, but they don't really have that push or accountability. So I started Unforgettable to focus in on female entrepreneurs in the industry to help them elevate themselves and gaining confidence to take steps in order to get to that end goal and get successes. So it's pretty much more of a movement that I'm creating with everything that I'm currently doing. So with that, you know, it's still in the starting phases, but the plan for Unforgettable is to go to different universities and put on workshops. So I'm actually still a college student. I graduate in May. I started in college, so my main target market right now is influencing, you know, the college crowd.
Okay. And you're using Instagram to also promote this, right?
Yes, that's correct. Everything is based off of my Instagram.
Okay, so what is your content strategy like? How do you figure out what to post and when? And what do you expect from these posts? What do you want them to do?
So for my personal account, I post pretty much what is going on in my daily life. If you actually pull up my Instagram, whoever is watching, my handle is saba.ali14. You can see that I have a theme going on. In one column, I have quotes, and the other two are just pictures that are going on. So for my personal account, I don't have a content calendar that I create before and ahead of time. I just post on the fly with, you know, pictures that are going on in my daily life. With my clients that I do work with, I create content calendars a month in advance for them. So based on, you know, what's going on with either their company, if they want to be putting out quotes, whatever. But for Unforgettable, my other account, that is pretty much just account based on quotes. So the main purpose behind that is inspiration, because that's what Unforgettable is about, is to, you know, inspire females. I mean, it's based on females, but really anybody on a daily basis, to tell them, you know, that this is a new day. Keep on going at your goals, no matter, you know, what is going on in your life, type of thing. So if you even pull up my Unforgettable account, Unforgettable by Saba, you can see that's pretty much all just quotes.
And that's working?
Oh, yeah, it is, for sure.
So is there a formula that you use for your clients, or is it just sort of like, let's just see what happens? Some quotes, some pictures, and, you know, wish for the best.
Yeah, no. So I walk through with my clients my signature style method. So we go through first their signature look on what actually they want on their Instagram. Then we focus in on their target market. Okay, what type of audience they want to be in front of. And then the third thing is focusing on your content. Okay, do you want to be putting out quotes? Do you want pictures? Do you want videos? What exactly do you want to be putting out there? And then the fourth thing is you leverage hashtags. So I do in-depth hashtag research for my clients to figure out, okay, what hashtags work best in their industry. And then the last part is actually engaging with your audience. I do not use automation whatsoever. I think that is a waste of, you know, of even having an Instagram account, because what's the point of having, you know, fake engagement or fake followers? So doing actual 100% human engagement with the actual followers, whether it's, you know, going to, you know, follow other people in your industry, liking and commenting on their posts and stuff along the lines of that. So, you know, there is a method I go through with my clients, but a lot of it is focused on your content in order to grow that following that you are going to be having.
Is it possible to target someone on Instagram through a hashtag and by location? Because a lot of local businesses, they need someone in their immediate location. They don't care about someone in a different country.
Yeah, so when I work with my local clients, the key to it is adding your actual location when you put an image up. That's a big part. And then also in your hashtag, you put the hashtag your city and then state. So for me, I'm from Ames, Iowa. So I would put hashtag Ames, Iowa in all of their posts. So when someone is searching something that's locally, they'll immediately go to that hashtag and they'll see that post.
Yeah, but they might search for, let's say they're looking for a bakery, right, in Chicago. They will put hashtag bakery, but will it only work for the people who also put hashtag Chicago, or will Instagram automatically sort of figure that out?
Well, I feel like it's almost a little bit of common sense. If someone's going to put hashtag bakery, you can see that there are millions of posts. So then they'll know, okay, I'll probably have to narrow this down to find something in Chicago. So then they probably would put hashtag Chicago bakery or something like that.
You know, Saba, I've been in business for a long time, and common sense is something I do not assume anymore. And you will at some point too. People just do the weirdest things.
Well, yeah, possibly. But I mean, if they do search that hashtag, I mean, if they want to look through millions of posts, so be it. But yeah, the key to it is still putting your location on the actual post. That also helps with higher engagement on that post as well.
That makes sense. Do you use Instagram advertising, or are you only doing pure posting, you know, whatever is free on there?
No, I'm doing pure posting, so I am not using any advertising on Instagram.
So for your clients, how fast will it take, I guess, to grow an audience to something that, you know, that matters?
I mean, it really depends on the actual account and where they're at. One client that I just started with a couple of weeks ago, they're probably around 200 followers, and where I'm from, it's a local smallish town, so that rate is pretty fast for them. They did have a previous Instagram account, and they were probably stuck around 150 followers. So the rate it's going at right now is pretty good for, you know, their business. If it's something like, if I'm working with, let's say, a lifestyle entrepreneur, it really also is based on if they already have an audience on different social media accounts. So driving cross traffic, if they are on Facebook, hey, I got this new Instagram account, go follow it. Or if just completely from scratch and nobody knows who you are, you know, it really just depends on what type of content you're putting out there as well. So, you know, when people do ask me that question, I say it depends on exactly, you know, what industry you're in and what content you're putting out there, how frequently you want to be posting and stuff like that.
When you see someone with an Instagram account and it's super stale, they can't get it to work, it's not creating the engagement they want, what are the few things, I guess, you go through to fix that?
The first thing I go through is if they have an actual profile picture and a bio. It's so amazing when I go on people's account and some people don't even have a picture on there or a bio at all, because that's the first thing I personally look at is when I go to account is, okay, who is this person and why should I be following it? So creating an intriguing bio and for sure putting some sort of link. So that's more of a call to action for your followers to do. And then obviously it's looking at the content on the actual account. What drives me away from Instagram accounts is when there are just random scattered pictures that don't make sense at all. I'm actually looking at my Instagram right now to see if I can find, you know, an account that just doesn't make sense. You know, I've seen accounts that have pictures of like dogs, of foods, of quotes, of cartoons, and it just is a headache to me when I look at that, and people would not want to follow an account like that. So I have seen people who have reached out to me like, hey, my account's not working, why is it? And I say, okay, for one, you know, you don't have a bio, you don't have a link, you don't have a picture, and none of your content like really makes sense to what you're actually doing. So those are like the key MA factors that I look at first when people come to me and why accounts don't work.
What would be an example of an intriguing bio for a store?
For like any type of store?
Like let's say an e-commerce store. So if you've seen someone selling sporting goods, like maybe some equipment for CrossFit or something like that, like what would be an intriguing bio for something like that?
Let's see. So let's say if they're doing something in the fitness niche, they could be, first of all, they should have their link on there. And then they could be latest sports apparel, something like latest sports apparel. I like to use, I don't like to use full sentences either. I like to use, like not parentheses, but like slashes.
Mm-hmm.
They can be latest sports apparel, fitness, health, men, female, kids, whatever their focus is on, and then have their link. And then if they have it linked to their Facebook, it would automatically link with their email, a phone number, and then their actual shop store. So it pretty much is, you know, focusing in on exactly what their store is about. For my account that I'm working with here locally, I put established in Ames, Iowa, 2004. Known for our seasonal in-house brewed beer. Make sure to tag us in your next visit. So, you know, that's a call to action. If someone is at that restaurant, they can post a picture on Instagram and tag them.
Right. So when, let's talk about the restaurant then, since you're already working with them. When they start posting on Instagram, is it all promotional stuff to buy things or call to actions, or do you scatter things like some pictures of food, maybe some testimonials, and then a few call to actions? Like, how do you structure this so people don't get overwhelmed or annoyed?
Yeah, so we have three areas where we structure our posts for this account. One of them is, yeah, the promotional one. So they have promotional deals going on every day. So whether it's like Taco Tuesday, game night, you know, Saturday, happy hour, something like that. Our second area that we focus in on is their actual events. If they have, you know, in-house events, if they're somewhere else locally, they can stop by and see them. And the third one is just kind of like fun facts, you know, whether it's about beer, about food, you know, just something funny that people can relate to. So no, it's not always all promotion, but a good majority of it is bringing people, you know, into the actual restaurant.
Okay. I got another question. This is just something I was talking with a buddy of mine. You know, we've seen an article saying that millennials are escaping Facebook, you know, because that's where the parents are, and they're running to Instagram and other social platforms. What other social platforms other than Instagram do you think you're all escaping to?
Snapchat, for sure. I do not use Twitter, like, at all. I've never been a fan of Twitter, so I honestly don't know if Twitter is even that popular anymore. But for sure, Snapchat. I feel like Snapchat and Instagram are, you know, getting very high up there as well because, you know, they have the stories. And I don't know if you use Snapchat, but they just had that latest update where, you know, half of their Snapchat is pretty much just advertisements. So people who are previous users on Snapchat, you know, it's more likely for them to swipe over to the discovery page and look at, okay, what's kind of new happening in the news, what's trending. So it's more likely, you know, if someone were to sell something on their Snapchat, it's more likely that they would swipe up to a link and check it out. Because on Snapchat, when you put up stories, you can actually, you know, link your website on the actual Snapchat. So it's super easy. All they have to do is swipe up on that image and it'll direct you to the website.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't played with it, but I'm super interested just for clients that I have, you know, and we always talk about this stuff, like where are people going now? And it does seem like Facebook is getting expensive and people are leaving, so.
Yeah, for sure. And what I like about Instagram and Snapchat, that it is like 10 times more personable, because on my Snapchat, you know, I put up things I'm doing on a daily basis. I put up videos of me like actually just talking. I'll be like, hey guys, this is what's going on today. I'm wearing one of my shirts. If you guys want to check it out, swipe up. So when people are watching that, you know, it's literally just in their fingertips. They don't have to make an extra step to go type in the URL and look at it.
So do you have a different strategy to get a following on Snapchat versus Instagram, or is it similar?
So for Snapchat, I don't use it specifically to sell my shirts. It's pretty much just my personal one. So, I mean, I have my Snapchat handle on my Instagram, but I don't heavily promote it. I mean, sometimes, you know, when I am doing Instagram lives or Facebook lives, I'm like, hey, I'm going to this event conference, follow me on Snapchat to, you know, check out behind the scenes. So I use Snapchat more for my actual life and journey. So if people would want to follow that, you know, that's pretty much how I get followers on Snapchat.
So you'd say Snapchat is the more personal one right now?
Yes. Yeah, I think Snapchat, out of all social media platforms, is the most personable one. And I feel like a lot of influencers that I do talk to, they like to use Snapchat just to kind of share their story and their journey with people.
That's very interesting. Tell me about that book you wrote. What was that process like?
Yeah, so I wrote my book back in March of 2017. It's called Enrolling in Confidence, How to Live the Lifestyle You Want in College. So it was actually back in January of 2017, I made the goal, you know, I was writing down my New Year's goals and I wanted to become an author. At the time, I didn't really know exactly how to even do that. That was just something I really wanted to do. So one of my good friends, Laura Peterson, back in September of 2016, she actually challenged herself that she was going to write a best-selling book in 30 days. And I was like, what? Like, is that even possible to do? Like, I was just blown away. So I kind of followed along with her in her journey. She wrote a book in 30 days. She launched on Amazon and she hit bestseller. So I was like, whoa, I want to do that same thing. So I chose the month of March to do so. I wrote my book in 30 days, launched on Amazon. And within a couple of hours, I hit number one in two of my categories. So the book itself, it talks about pretty much my college journey and how I got into entrepreneurship and the tips that I use on a daily basis in order to be, you know, that typical college student, but then still be very career driven in my field of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting now because, you know, you're seeing all this success people are having online and the colleges really don't teach those same tools, right? So it's got to be a little different, right, than like when I was in college. Like we didn't see as much of what's happening around. But for you, it's like, okay, I'm going to school, I'm learning this, but the stuff to make money, it's not really taught in school at all.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because people always ask me, like, why are you still in college? And the main reason is because college is good for networking. You know, if I didn't go to college, I would not have been in entrepreneurship whatsoever because I met my mentor through my university. So college is good to network and gain exposure to, you know, different type of industries or trying to figure out what you actually want to do. But yeah, 100% the content itself that you learn in the actual classes, I really haven't applied any of that to my actual business and companies that I'm, you know, working on. So when people ask me, is college necessary? I feel like if you're in business, no, it's not necessary. If you are wanting to become like a doctor or engineer, then yeah, I do think you should be probably going to college for that.
Yeah, I sort of feel like college is similar to conferences. Like you don't go there to learn much, you just go to network.
Right, exactly, 100%. And honestly, being a college student is pretty good. I mean, I've gone into conferences for free just for being a college student because people love college students. So when I tell people that who are in entrepreneurship and in college, I'm like, use it to your benefit because once you're out of college, you know, you have to pay for conferences and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're a hungry young college student, people are going to want to help you also.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. What books that you read yourself in the last maybe 6 to 12 months you can recommend to the listeners? You know, something that either changed your mindset a little bit or something you've just learned something, like some golden nuggets from.
Ooh, so I don't read books that much. I listen to audiobooks, but one of my favorite books of all time is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. My mentor gave me that to read about a year ago, and that has really, really helped me with my mindset. I don't know if you've read that book.
Yeah, I think really everyone listening to this probably has. It's one of these things you get when you're around 20. Like, everyone just gets it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that definitely helped me with my mindset. It kind of put me more into that entrepreneurship mindset that people have. Because when I did get into entrepreneurship and when I started to work with my mentor, you know, I didn't even know really what an entrepreneur was or what that mindset really even felt like. So when I read this book, you know, the principles that they go through, I was like, okay, if I actually apply it to my life, you know, this will actually help me get to my successes that I really want to achieve. So I probably read that book, you know, a couple of times now. And, you know, it really does help for sure. And, you know, I've given it to my friends. They've read it. And it puts you into that mental state to really achieve anything that you want to, like whatever the mind conceives and believes the mind achieves. And I think I want to go back and think about like the first thing I actually applied to and what it worked. And it was actually a scholarship internship that I was applying for when I was a sophomore in college. You had to do, you know, this case study, a really long case study, and only like a majority of people get picked around the nation for the scholarship. And if you won, you know, you go to New York for this reception. And at the time, I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to win this. And I want to prove to myself that I can actually do it. And, you know, I already wrote down in my calendar, I blocked out the days I was going to be gone in New York just because, you know, mentally, if you do that, that's like, okay, you're already going to be gone. So I already, you know, had in my head that I was already going to win this thing before I even knew about it. So, you know, training my mind to do that, once, you know, I turned it in a couple weeks later, I found out that I actually didn't win the scholarship. So, you know, applying it to something even simple like that really even helped me get to a small success that I was really, really hoping for.
Can you recommend any resources for business owners that want to figure out Instagram? Is there anything you go to, or is it just stuff you figure out on your own?
I don't use any additional apps or automation or software. I pretty much do it all on my own. When I create my content calendars, it's literally just on Excel. That's the easy way I work with my clients. You know, I use Google Drive, share folders with them. Everything else, you know, it's pretty just all organic. I looked into, you know, different type of apps and stuff for scheduling, but even on, I mean, recently on Instagram, they did come out with automatic posting. But usually on Instagram, you still have to physically go in and put like the hashtags and everything yourself. So yeah, Instagram is pretty, you know, organic on its own. So I really don't use anything else besides just posting and my content calendars.
Got it. Sabat, thanks for coming on. Where can people find you?
Yeah, of course. So the best place that people can find me is obviously Instagram. So my Instagram handle is saba.ali14. And then also you can check out my website at sabaali.com.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.